Good afternoon to all listeners. I'm Gabriel Kamanzuri and will be conducting today's program, It's Debatable. This is a weekly discussion of current affairs in its second series. The program is run by the Department of International Relations, and students participate by giving us their opinion on subjects of their interest. Today's students are Paola Camilli from Italy and Samuel Carcanague from France. Today's subject is the role of the EU in Kosovo. Dr. Isabel Kalleja will introduce today's subject.
Most of the Slavs who lived in the two Yugoslav states, the original one created in 1918 and the communist one born in 1944, had freely opted to join the land of the South Slavs, but not the Kosovo Albanians, who are not Slavs, do not speak a Slavic language, and are mostly Muslim by religion. During the Middle Ages, Kosovo was the heartland of the Serbian kingdom, and the vast majority of its people Serbs. But then, Munrad I won the famous Battle of 1389, and over half a millennium of Ottoman rule changed the demography. Serbs moved out and Albanians moved in. However, during the Balkan Wars of 1912, Serbia reconquered this territory, and in 1918, Kosovo became part of Yugoslavia. During the Second World War, many of the remaining Serbs were expelled, when most of the province became part of an Italian-controlled Greater Albania. After the war, Kosovo had to be put under martial law, because no Albanian wanted the return of Yugoslav sovereignty. Things began to change in the late 1960s, when Yugoslavia's Marshal Tito started to allow the Albanization of the province. In 1974, as part of a constitutional reform, Kosovo became a republic in all but name. Although technically a province of Serbia, it had its own parliament and police and largely ran itself. In 1987, however, Slobodan Milosevic came to power in Belgrade, and shortly after he had become president of Serbia, he stripped the province of its autonomy. Serbs claimed this land is holy to them, though hardly any Serbs lived there, arguing that Kosovo is home to countless Serbian churches and monasteries. Mr. Milosevic's actions had spectacular consequences. His reimposition of direct rule over Kosovo hastened the death of the old Yugoslavia, because most of the other republics, Slovenia, Croatia, Macedonia, Bosnia, feared that he would also try to put them under Belgrade's control. When the old Yugoslavia broke up in 1991, Mr. Rugova, head of the Democratic League of Kosovo, declared the province independent. Mr. Rugova believed that since there were so few Serbs in Kosovo, barely 10% of the population of 1.8 million, and as that proportion was steadily falling, independence was bound to come in the end. So he argued for passive resistance and rejected calls from Croatia and Bosnia to begin an uprising against the Serbs. Disaster struck in 1995. Kosovo's Albanians were shocked when the Dayton Peace Conference, which ended the war in Bosnia, did not put Kosovo on the agenda. Worse followed when the countries of the European Union recognized the new Federal Republic of Yugoslavia, comprising Serbia and Montenegro, with Kosovo as a part of Serbia. In 1997, the Kosovars in Germany and elsewhere raised money to begin buying guns for the guerrillas of the fledgling Kosovo Liberation Army, the KLA, which had been founded in 1993. In 1998, Serbian policemen, whose patrols had come under attack, killed a number of people connected with the KLA, sometimes whole families. To their dismay and to the surprise of the KLA, which at the time numbered barely a couple of hundred men, Kosovo exploded. The KLA found itself swept along by an uprising, which it tried to control and to organize. The Serbs counterattacked and sent 250,000 civilians fleeing for their lives. This is where the world came in. Fearing the refugees might die of cold and worrying that the war in Kosovo might spread to neighboring Macedonia, NATO decided it must do something. In 1999, a deal was reached and the UN resolution stated that Kosovo should remain formally part of Serbia, but in fact run its own affairs. The area today is more stable, but is still home to and largely run by the UN, NATO and EU personnel. The plan is for the latter to oversee the independence of Kosovo, which is considered imminent. Today's programme will discuss EU strategy in Kosovo.
Thanks, Dr. Kaleja. Bruno parses now will read some quotes that concern today's debate.
Thank you, Gabriel. My next two quotes will be by former U.S. Ambassador to Yugoslavia, John D. Scanlon. According to him, we're deeply concerned about rising tensions in the province of Kosovo, in the Yugoslav Republic of Serbia. Rooted in a long history, the conflict between ethnic groups living in the area threatens the well-being of all the people of Kosovo, Serbia, and Yugoslavia. We believe this conflict can only be resolved through peaceful democratic dialogue and respect for the dignity and human rights of all citizens of the province. It cannot be solved by violence, intimidation, or the threat or use of force by any party. We call upon the people and the government of Serbia to respect and protect the rights of all Albanians living in the Republic of Serbia, especially Kosovo.
Thanks, Bruno. Barroso, the head of the European Commission, said, "Stop to enlargement." How can you interpret this attitude showed by EU in relationship with Balkans and Kosovo in particular?
I think there is a need of an empowerment. It means the formation of active citizens, informed and responsible, instead of an identity based on an ethnic community. Before an integration, we can imagine a common market based on common rules within the Balkans. It could be completed by a unique currency. It will be the proof of real cooperation between this country, and then an open door for the integration. But integration of all or almost all the country of the former Yugoslavia is the final aim of the EU. It could diffuse another conflict. Indeed, integration within a bigger structure could make relativize borders problem. Ethnic tension will be less and less important, and the economic development helped by the EU will be a pillar of stability in the long term. We have to think that integration can be the starting point of a better relation between Kosovo and Serbia, and then between all the countries. EU must not stop the process because of its actual weakness, and EU have promised to help this country since 1991. We must not give up.
Paul, what are your comments?
Well, from my personal point of view, I think that Barroso's commission is a politically weak one, and it was born to be weak, apparently because the former one has been considered to be too strong. And this position might reflect the need of states such as France or Germany or Spain or Italy as well, who don't agree with other enlargements and are not ready to take other steps in favor of countries who can compete over the first sector in particular. I'm speaking about agricultural economics, and take for themselves many of the advantages that a common agricultural politics ensure to France. On the other hand, he might have realized that the European Union, after the collapse of the constitutional project, is not able anymore to stand on its feet, and politically speaking, of course, and the drop of the project has highlighted big difficulties which European Union had to cope with. First of all, the threat of nationalistic feelings and nationalistic movements that are spreading all over Europe, that deepen their roots in an ethnical discrimination mud. And the dramatic issue of ethnical discrimination is well known in this area, and it's perhaps one of the main concerns about the proposal of integrating Kosovo as a region of Europe. Even, I think that a project of integrating this area in the European system could only be explained in terms of asking for redemption for its misbehavior in the past 10 to 15 years, in which European Union has just watched the situation in Kosovo through a window and just let them at their fate, watching them killing each other without doing anything. So other problems related with this project of enlargement in Serbia and Kosovo will respond to European Union has to respond to other questions, like what institutional form is to give this area, And how would Serbia react if Kosovo is treated as an independent country and not as a region of Serbia? And European Union has showed no willingness to open this Pandora box, and we can see it even because there are no fixed deadlines that European has mentioned in terms of agreements and even starting to deepen relationship with a territory so in fight. Still, we have to remember that until the last few weeks there have been fightings in Kosovo for independence and by independent movements, and this would mean give the opportunity to other nationalistic movements throughout all Europe to explode, and Barroso, the head of Commission, knows it. So I think that any other further step will be taken in this direction.
Kosovo is a very difficult reality. On one hand stands the willingness to be both an independent country and a European partner. But on the other hand, there is a country that needs to be built in its political, economical and social institutions. Samuel, which concrete steps is EU taking in this direction?
I think the most important issue for the stability, more than Kosovo integration, is the Serbia integration. Serbia is frustrated for some years now because of the collapse of the Yugoslavia, because of the Montenegro independence, and now because of the possible independence of Kosovo. The risk of a new rise of nationalism in Serbia is important, and it's a role of the EU to avoid such scenario and push for a fast integration, even if it's not the best moment for EU, I mean. But European Union have closed all the negotiations for the signature of stabilization and association agreement with Serbia in 2006. And one of the main conditions is a real cooperation with the International Criminal Court, Ratko Mladic, the alleged mastermind of the Srebrenica massacre, is still running, and his arrest is one of the main points of clash between Serbia and EU. But EU is changing its strategy. She tried to get smoother with this point because all of the process is freeze because of that. Before, the condition was his extradition. Now it's only his arrest. And actually all the negotiation to sign the stabilization and association agreement can be done in a few weeks, but it's not an economical or administrative problem, but just a political one. It is why some people in the institutions tend to make a personal solution for Serbia. Some states like Croatia disagree with these methods because there are no treatment like that for Croatia integration. But if Serbia has the assurance of being integrated, it will be a good step in the way of peace and prosperity.
Paola, which concrete steps does the EU have to take?
Well, as I was saying before, in accordance with my personal point of view, I don't think that European Union is moving a lot in this direction. First of all, as I was saying, because it hasn't got the strength to put forward a political process that can lead to democratic organization of this territory. For instance, let's think about all the problems that European Union has had with Croatia and with the process of integration in Croatia, and let's compare it with Kosovo. Dealing with European minimum standards, I'm talking about economical matters, so I don't think that Kosovo will catch European standards very soon, and Europe hasn't got the strength to help Kosovo reaching them. So I think that Europe has got the need and the right to ask for a certain democratic level, state of rights, civil rights, economical standards to be reached. So in substance, it will be a kind of unrealistic utopia, even if it's a good purpose, of course, to integrate this area, because of the European inflexible attitude towards standard, and standards that have to be accomplished in a way, because they have been asked to all European countries. I'm talking about Spain, Italy, France, Germany, Greece. They had to accomplish such standards, and I don't think that Europe will take on its shoulders Kosovo's effort to reach that minimal level of economic development. And also, we can't forget important matters that affect these territories, such as an extreme institutional fragility and the big crisis of the fiscal system, as well as a diffuse deregulation. And there is even been an enforcement of economical criminality and mafia's power in the territory after the war, after 15 years of fighting between each other. And it's even important to point out that economic parameters are very far away from the minimal standards that EU requires. So I don't want to be that dramatic, but I think that the main solution is to rely much more on non-governmental organization or civil movements that can actually work on the territory rather than rely on a bureaucratic and institutional monolithic European Union towards this territory.
Thank you. And the discussion will continue with the phone now just after a short break. Welcome back to the second part of the program. We have here in the studio we have Dr. Okleda Mulay, a member of the department who is specialist in Central and Eastern European affairs. Dr. Okleda Mulay, what are the prospects for the independence on Kosovo?
The status of Kosovo has been lingering for a long. The status of Kosovo has been lingering for a long time. One can say, in fact, from 1991, when the province declared its independence from the then Federation of Yugoslavia. Oppressive policies of Belgrade in the province, which culminated in the ruthless Serb-led ethnic cleansing in 1999, have inevitably led to the estrangement of the province from the Serbian rule. With all the oppression and maltreatment which Kosovo Albanians have suffered in Serbian hands, it seems to me entirely unrealistic to contemplate any kind of even partial return of Kosovo to Belgrade's rule. Kosovo now has 8 years of independent rule under the UN administration, and Belgrade lacks legitimacy in reclaiming the province. So, given this background and that the majority of the population of Kosovo wants to be free, why is Kosovo not independent? Because the creation of a new state does not depend solely on the will of the people, but also on the recognition granted by the international community. Indeed, the final status of the province rests ultimately with the great powers. Surely the international community has been involved in the Kosovo crisis. NATO in particular was an active force in stopping Belgrade's oppression in the province in 1999. Endorsing NATO's intervention ex post facto, the United Nations Security Council has de facto endorsed secession of the province from Serbia. Yet, recently, a plan put forward by the UN Special Mediator Martti Ahtisaari does not envisage full sovereignty for Kosovo. Under this UN plan, for instance, Kosovo is not eligible to apply for UN membership, although it could join some international organizations such as the IMF and the World Bank. Some have interpreted the UN plan as granting Kosovo a conditioned independence, not unsimilar with that of Bosnia, where international presence will be continuing in the foreseeable future, perhaps for another 10 or so years. The process of membership of Kosovo in the International Society of States is bound to require the approval of the UN Security Council. And here one member, that is Russia, who traditionally upholds Serbian interests, is inclined to resist attitudes of other members who may favor Kosovo's independence. Russia can, of course, delay or obstruct the UN Security Council's consideration of Kosovo's independence. However, given that the undecided status of Kosovo has only contributed to uncertainty and instability in the region, a more prudent thing to do might be for Russia to contribute constructively in the resolution of Kosovo's status. And what better way of doing this than exercising Russia's powers in the Security Council with responsibility towards improving peace and stability in the Balkan region and beyond? Indeed, granting Kosovo independence benefits not only Kosovo, but also Serbia, insofar as that would put an end to long-standing historical animosities and thus provide incentives for moving on towards a better future. Stabilizing the region is in the best interest of the international community, including Russia, and Kosovo's independence will contribute to this end.
Thanks, Dr. Kledamoy, for your comments. Now, Samuel, what kind of relations or partnership has the EU with Kosovo?
Well, the EU has developed several programs to help Kosovo. On 20 January 2006, the Council on Kosovo adopted a European partnership with Serbia, including Kosovo. And moreover, the EU is the largest contributor towards Kosovo. Its main tool is the Community Assistance for Reconstruction, Development and Stabilization. We call it CARDS. Since 1999, 1.1 billion euros were given to the country through this program. The priority of the CARDS is democratic stabilization, including the return of refugees, liberties of the medias, and reinforcement of the institution, including justice reform, police reform, fight against organized crime, and finally economic and social development. Almost 50 million euros were set aside for 2006. Soon it is envisaged that a pre-adhesion help program will replace the CARDS. For the 2007-2009 period, the EU will give 194 million euros.
So why the Kosovo issue is a problem for the EU?
Kosovo is the most difficult problem in Europe nowadays. For the last 8 years, negotiations have not been successful between Serbia and Kosovo. The only agreement reached was to share the fee of the press room. So it is an impasse. But more than the position of Serbia, it is the position of Russia which is carrying the EU. If Russia imposes its veto on the Security Council, Kosovo will claim its independence anyway. and will ask for bilateral recognition. But not all the countries of the EU will recognize this independence, mostly because of their economical links with Russia. For instance, UK is for Kosovo independence, but Slovakia is firmly against. So the EU will again be divided on a foreign affair issue, and will prove its incapability to resolve the Balkan issue. The risk of chaos and instability ensuing is important, and it will seem a great failure for European political construction.
So, Paola Camilli, what is the situation in Kosovo today, and which are the main projects that EU claims to bring about in the context of UNMIK?
Well, it's clear that creation of a robust economy in Kosovo is an important step forward in the stabilization of the Balkans and an important step towards integration in Europe. For this reason, the so-called EU pillar, part of the United Nations Interim Administration Mission in Kosovo, the UNMIK, is concentrating its effort, its investment and reconstruction projects on the creation of a modern market economy in this area, and as well, it is planning initiatives to help Kosovo integrate into the regional and global marketplace. Those special agreements are meant to impact essential economic fields such as energy, financial markets, the information society, public expenditure, tourism, trade liberalization, transport and civil aviation. Well, all this project has been considered by the EU as a possible way to assist the transformation of Kosovo's economy towards a more modern and dynamic market system, delivering social and economic benefits for all. European Union affirms that Kosovo derives three major benefits from trade liberalization, namely improved export opportunities, better investment conditions and stable relations with the neighbours. But this cannot make us forget about the real situation that this region is living in after the war. And to show it clearly, we can just think, for example, about the everyday problems of corruption or organized crime that the normal citizens have to cope with, and that sometimes involve even institutions at higher levels. All this certainly does not make this region of the Balkan ready to experiment neither a social nor an economical development that Europe, by its side, is promising with major investments and rebuilding plans.
Thanks, Paola Camilli and Samuel Carcanague for contributing to today's program. And thanks also to Dr. Isabel Calle and Dr. Cleda Molay for their contribution, and for Bruno Parsons for research on quotes. I hope you enjoyed today's debate. Join us for the next program today week that will discuss migration.